1.5 million people and not expect them to get very angry about it. That's exactly what Israel did. That is why the ceasefire broke
down. Protests and widespread condemnation against Israel have swept the world as its war on Gaza escalates.
Hundreds of civilians were wounded when 300 missiles struck Baghdad.
Israel has sent phone text messages to Palestinians in Gaza saying, leave your homes, leave your homes. What other country would do that?
That's public anger. What other country would do
that? It's weird how problems exist, how they continue and why they persist. Some is little, some problems big. Some is far over elephant pigs. My problem is this, I lost my job. I just got robbed, I fell from God. But my problem is nothing at all. He lost his mom, he lost his dog. Some people have problems, so they just throw rocks. Fight back tens, like a list of cops. Throw Molotovs at Zion, Zion. Got no tags, how they blow themselves up. Throw your hands up, are they laughing at us? We blame them while the cancer is us. Look around us, divided as us.
Refugee camps full,
pull the borders up. Blow up you, I'll blow up you, cause
I'm trying so great,
and it's full like a star. This redemption song,
the fire is yours.
Stop your tenant and stand yourself up. We is you, and we count on us.
To press this one,
we damage and rough. Oh, silence so deafening. This silence is us.
Word up, Word of Mouth Wednesday. We are here for the Word of Mouth Wednesday on November the 10th, 2010. It's about 7:03 p.m. My name is Daniel Libby, and what you just heard there is 95.6, the track Requiem. We don't have our regular theme song available today. Also, computers are down, so we don't have a bunch of the audio files I was planning to play. The original rundown on the show had a few items which will not be on the show, including some clips from the Free Mumia Abu Jamal rally, which took place yesterday. Hopefully going to be working on that, as well as a rally that I saw taking place on Saturday. There was a Please Don't Shop at Sears rally taking place right near the Eaton Center, and the workers of the Vaughn Sears plant have been locked out, so they're on the streets now, I guess, every weekend, and there's going to be even some more actions coming up. So I guess we'll have some of those segments to play next week, hopefully. But today, I guess we'll be focusing on our main topic, which was supposed to be our main topic of the show today, lest we forget, remembering the G20, which took place in Toronto at the end of June, and the warning that we have to get out, because the G20 Toronto is, you know, officially coming to a close, because after tomorrow, everyone's going to be talking about G20 Korea. Now, the G20 Toronto, the fallout, the legal battles, other things are still going to continue, so this is by no means the end of the story. But, of course, the G20, the actual group of 20 nations, the 20 world leaders, have moved on to the point where they've got a new summit, a new city, and they're going to be in Seoul, Korea, arriving. I guess some of them have already started arriving, but by tomorrow, I think a lot of the leaders are going to be in Seoul, Korea for the G20. So what we got planned tonight is an interview. We're planning to interview Chris Bacon of The York Life. And The York Life is a channel on YouTube focusing on, you know, life in the York University area. But he also followed the G20. He's got the G20 Fortress Toronto documentary, which you can see online. And also, we're hoping to interview Steve Bates, who's supposed to be stopping by the station a bit later on. And he's another independent media person who had quite an experience at the G20 Toronto that he's going to fill us in on. And the independent police review that is going on, because of it. And we're talking about a camera smashed incident. So we're going to get those kind of details a bit later on in the show. But first up, maybe since we've got the show started off with our warning, episode, our warning for the people of you know, Seoul, Korea, would be to play a audio clip here of someone who made a lot of headlines, and someone who actually tried to get on to see if she was available for the show tonight because of the things that she's talking about in this clip. What you're going to hear is a journalist, Amy Miller, speaking about a bit about what she went through during the G20. This is the raw, this is the real warning for South Korea. Seoul, get ready. This is That clip, hold on.
I was throttled at the neck and held down, and then I was detained for nearly 13 hours. I was placed in a cell at the Toronto Film Studio, and I was in a cell with 25 other young women for approximately 13 hours. Throughout the time that I was detained, I was told many statements that I find repulsive and completely inappropriate, and what I view as threats. I was told I was going to be raped. I was told I was going to be gangbanged. I was told that they were going to make sure that I was never going to want to act as a journalist again by making sure that I would be repeatedly raped while I was in jail. When I was in the detention center, I saw numerous young women who were completely strip-searched, who weren't strip-searched by male officers. And one young woman, when she was coming out, who was completely traumatized, said that she had a finger put up her. And I find this completely unacceptable, and I hope that people will investigate this, because from what I saw in the cell, from the women who were coming out, who were being strip-searched, they were definitely traumatized, and there was very much violence that was targeted to young women.
So very serious allegations we're hearing about what people had to go through when they were, you know, arrested during this mass arrest, the largest mass arrest in Canadian history at the G20 in Toronto. Amy Miller is part of the Free Press 4, it's known as. You can read an article about this on the Toronto Media Co-op, the Free Press for four journalists who have had conflicts during the G20 with the security forces attacking journalists. This is why the Free Press 4 have launched their complaints, I guess, with the, I guess as far as you can go with this civilian complaining process with the police. They're trying to go all the way, so we're going to try to get Amy Miller on the show sometime in the future, just to give us an update on that, and as well as the movies that she's making, because I know she's an independent media maker and then also a movie maker. She made the Miss for Profit movie, anti-war documentary about the business of war. That you can check out, Miss for Profit. Check out Toronto Media Co-op, and you know, these are the kind of warnings that we need to get out. You know, I'm sure some of the people in Korea are prepared or are preparing, but it's always, you know, this kind of thing is a shock to a lot of people, and it's been a shock since, because you know, a lot of people still talking about the G20. I think there's even going to be Canadian Civil Liberties Association testimonies taking place sometime soon. Well, all the stuff that's going on, well, what we're going to get is more info. We're going to get some fresh memories, hopefully, of what went down at the G20, what actually happened in the streets. And we're going to get the words from a documentary filmmaker who documented it pretty thoroughly. If you check out the Fortress Toronto documentary, hopefully right after this, we're going to be speaking with Chris Bacon. But first up, maybe we'll just play another track here by the artist 95.6, some real hip hop here for the CKLN audiences. And just remember, Toronto first. CKLN 88.1 FM. Word of Mouth Wednesday.
How you doing? Almani, Toronto, 95, marvelous. Marvelous, just a bit too. Yo, 1, 2, hi, hello, how you do?
This is me, why that you? This is real, no, that is fake, no, not you, I mean what you say. I am real, where could be ya? Why you wear it in ya, ya, ya? We in crowds while you behind desks, yes, yes, come out, best protect your neck. That's me depicted, me image twisted, humans carefully crafted to decades of fiction. You scared of me, so you point finger, I raise my hand to the sky. Fist of solidarity at the rocks and tanks, against all odds, I fight back. Shoot my body, just free my soul. Make me hot, stop, but my blood still flows. Flow out me body and into the dirt. Me live on through earth. Them kill while the world watches. History be written into your conscience. Wake up and face it, they won't play this. Wake up and face it, they won't play this. Wake up and face it, they won't play this. Don't turn off
the station.
Hi, hi, hello, how you do? This is me, why, that you? This is real, that is fake. No, no, not you, I mean what you say. Hi, hi, hello, how you do? This is me, why, that you? This is real, that is fake. No, no, not you, I mean what you say. I am real, where coffee up? Why you wearing a blah, blah, blah? We in crowds while you behind desk. Scared to come out, best protect your neck. That's me, it's hinted, me and it's twisted. You must carefully cry to that, it's a fiction. You scared of me, so you point finger. I raise my hands to the sky. Pissed up, solidarity. I throw rocks at tanks and against all odds. No, I fight back. Shoot my body, just free my soul. Let me hop up, my blood still flows. Blow out me body and into the dirt. Me live on through earth. Them kill while the world watches. History be written into your conscience. Wake up and face it, they won't play this. Wake up and face it, they won't play this. Wake up and face it, they won't play this. Wake up and face it, they won't play this. Wake up and face it, they won't play this. Wake up and face it, they won't play this. Wake up and face it, they won't play this. Don't turn off your radio, just change the station. Hi, hi, hello, how you do? This is me, while that you. This is real, that is fake. No, no, not you, I mean what you say. Hi, hi, hello, how you do? This is me, while that you. This is real, that is fake. No, not you, I mean what you say.
Word up, Word of Mouth Wednesday. We're back here on the show. This is our show. Oh, it's a warning for the good people of Seoul, Korea about the G20 that's taking place. And just joining me on the line right now, we have a media person, a filmmaker, a YouTube documentarian. We've got from The York Life, Chris Bacon on the line. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Daniel. Thanks for having me on the show.
Hey, oh, no, thanks for being here. And well, with what we got going on here, talking about this G20, and I know you made this documentary, G20 Fortress Toronto, on your channel, The York Life. But maybe just to start off here, just in case people don't know about what The York Life is, what is The York Life all about?
Well, The York Life first started off in 2008, and that was during the strike at York University. Some of you may remember that. It was the longest strike in English-Canadian history at a university. And this was a very controversial time at York, and this sort of got me involved in student politics or observing student politics, especially with student unions, student elections, and everything to do with sort of controversial issues at York University, and believe it or not, there's actually a lot of them. So that's a little bit about York Life. Some upcoming events, even at York University, is that the Toronto Media Co-op is actually coming to York University tomorrow,
nice.
And you can actually check that out on their website if you're interested in, if anyone's interested in that event out there. And we're also planning on covering the George Galloway event at York University, which is next week, so that should be interesting.
Well, he's coming too, eh, George Galloway?
Yeah.
Awesome, yeah, so that's why The York Life is awesome to check out on YouTube, youtube.com/ChrisBacon, K-R-I-S-S, Bacon, Chris Bacon's channel featuring The York Life, a lot of different topics, things going on in York, if you want to know what's going on at York University. But then also, during the summer, I saw that you had posted this G20 Fortress Toronto documentary. It's about a five-part documentary, and you go through it pretty thoroughly, and that's what I was thinking of doing today, just because we've got this warning here for the good people of Seoul. So and because you documented this so thoroughly, I was thinking maybe if you could recount what happened, like starting from the Saturday, like I guess why did you go down to film it, maybe to start off?
Well, there was so much hype in the media around this G20 event, and I like a lot of people who have watched movie. That's The Battle in Seattle.
Right.
I'm sure a lot of you have heard of that. Like that, I was very interested in what was going to happen, and you hear that 20,000 people are going to show up, and it's just sort of one of those things as an independent journalist or independent media person, you just kind of can't really miss, and especially if you're interested in video making, and there's just so much potential for an event, and that's what we saw in going down there. And I went down with a friend of mine, Corey Birch, and he was basically the interviewer for some of the interviews we had with protesters, demonstrators, and political activists.
Right. So I guess starting from the Saturday, you what did you see when you first got there? You got to Queen's Park, and that's where the documentary basically the starting point at the G20
yeah.
portion. I guess what did you see? I guess leading up to this, to the action.
Right. Well, basically the whole documentary centers around the Saturday, and we start off at Queen's Park, and basically, you just see the mass of people there. There must have been 10,000 at least. And we basically went around interviewing anyone who would want to be on camera and asked them why were they there, why were they protesting, what did they believe in, what did they think about the ridiculous amount of money spent on the summit security, the huge amount of police force out there, the riot police, you know. And we just sort of went from there, and we followed the march as it went down University Avenue, and when it hit the U.S. consulate, it sort of got really interesting as you saw the riot police for the first time, and you just sort of realized, wow, this is actually happening.
Mm-hmm. Right, and so the march kept moving, and this is where the documentary takes a turn. Is where, you know, basically when the riot starts, or you know, somewhere around Queen and Spadina.
Yeah.
I guess were you just down there and it all happened, or had you planned to follow a block or
not at all? What happened was I originally wanted to go down there to film police actions. I wanted to see what would happen. What would the police response be in terms of searching people's bags and whatnot? Mm-hmm. But what sort of happened was that I got caught up in this black bloc tactic, where a bunch of people in black wearing masks ran past me, and I'm like, "Hey, that's the black bloc. Let's go, Corey. Let's go film this, because this is going to be something we should document." So they ended up running to Queen and Spadina, just a small group of Black Bloc members. We followed them there, and we just sort of filmed from there, and yeah.
Right, and that's where you can get the details. If people want to know what happened, you know, just search the Fortress Toronto documentary, search for the York Life on YouTube, and... Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on how this riot took place? Like, do you believe that the Black Bloc outmaneuvered the cops, or do you believe that the cops do you believe in the stand down order theory, or
that's a very interesting question, and it's a really good question. Who influenced who, the cops or the Black Bloc? And you can say both, or one or the other. From my perspective. And I got this all on camera, too. It was really interesting to see that they did block off the black bloc at Queen and Spadina, but it sort of built up a lot of pressure. And what happened is a flare was lit off by the communist portion of the Black Bloc, the red portion, and this sort of signaled a change in the atmosphere, where the Black Bloc surged east. Instead of west, along Queen Street. But the thing is, they were blocked off by riot police at every southern route to the fence. So that didn't happen forever. Like, there were weaknesses within the riot police line, and it was just very interesting to see that the biggest weakness in the riot police line was at Bay Street, which makes no sense in my mind. It either shows that the police were completely incompetent in maintaining a line of defense, or they actually purposely allowed the Black Bloc to go south along Bay Street towards King and Bay Street, where I'm sure many people saw the flaming cop cars, the destruction, and the violence.
Right, and that's why you'll find the Toronto Tree Seekers downtown on Saturday afternoons with signs saying like G20 was a staged event, G20 riots were a staged event, because of this. What we see in the documentary, in your documentary that you made, is the host mentioning something about, it seems like a conspiracy theory when he's seeing it happen live. Are you saying that that there was just some gaps in the riot line, or were you saying that there was no riot cops at all at King and Bay? Or?
There were none. There were absolutely zero riot cops at King and Bay Street or at Bay Street, and they basically had to bus in, from what I saw, in order to contain the situation when cop cars were lit on fire.
Well, and so that is like a key. That's a key video clip that you have up on your channel. Is the Fortress Toronto burns? Is where the car gets lit on fire? I guess, like, did you see that happening, or did you just see it when it was already on fire? Or,
well, I didn't see someone light it on fire, which is actually very interesting. You would think that with all the cameras, you would see someone light the thing on fire. But
yeah,
I guess it only takes one person to light a car on fire, not a whole group. Which is sort of an interesting dynamic to the whole situation. But I didn't see it lit on fire, but I was there for the whole time it started to catch on fire, and it was really shocking to me. Like, you can do, I even have a clip of another video of my reaction to it, and I was in utter shock that a police vehicle was on fire in the middle of Toronto. So at that point, I was... obviously, the adrenaline is actually pumping through you really well. So you sort of want to get out of there really fast. So me and Corey, my friend, who was watching my back the whole time, we got out of there pretty fast. We went north, and at that point, they actually blocked off the intersections to the south, east, and west.
Right. And then, I guess, you followed this group up Yonge Street?
Mm-hmm.
And then into Queen's Park, or what?
Yeah, well, what happened after King and Bay Street was that the Black Bloc basically got pushed out of the area because the Black Bloc was really distracted by the fire. They were really only 100 meters away from the fence, and a small portion of Black Bloc did try to go to the fence, and they sort of actually didn't make it. But at that point, it was too late. The police had arrived. They contained the situation. They pushed everyone out of the area east towards Yonge Street, which is another issue because they just basically pushed them into another financial district where they smashed some more stores all the way north to College Street.
Right, and then it's basically gets down into the Queens. It's basically heads back to Queens Park, and then the Queens Park shutdown. The final chapter you got here in your documentary is one of the most extreme, most serious, I guess, when you consider, you know, all of Canada and the fight for civil liberties and stuff. What did you see at Queens Park at the
Queens
later?
Park, well. Queens Park was a mess. It was honestly just ridiculous. I don't even know how to describe it, to be honest. It was, we basically went past the police station on College Street on our way to Queens Park, and it was really interesting to go past the police station without interference. And mind you, like, this whole time I'm recounting the story, there's no attempted arrests. There's no attempts to contain the situation or attempts to prevent property damage by police. But once we get to Queen's Park and once everyone derobes their black clothing, the riot police are out in full force and in more, a huge amount of police just appeared out of nowhere. And it was just incredible to see how they were able to to push people around the way they wanted to, and it was an incredible display of force, in my opinion.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I was there. I got pushed out too, and luckily I didn't get arrested. But it was definitely the most cops I've ever seen ever before surrounding the park. What you were mentioning though, with the interference or non-interference by the security while this riot's going on, are you saying that you didn't see? Did you ever see like somebody that you thought was in the black bloc get arrested? Like anybody all in black get arrested ever? Anybody with a mask?
Not one. Not one person was arrested. Wow. Either, and this, there may be a number of reasons for this, and it may be because the cops are too scared to actually go in and arrest someone in a group this sort of riled up, but at the same time, you just sort of think, what are you guys doing? Like, aren't you supposed to be protecting the city, or are you just here to,
arrest everyone else, right? Right. That's the question here that we've got, well, since with what's gone on since then, and because this story it really hasn't gotten out, it hasn't gone away from the media, but there have been, we're seeing different sides to the story when we compare, the corporate media and the independent media. What are your thoughts on the coverage of this?
For personal experiences, really, I didn't find any media outlet in Canada doing a really good job. The Real News did a really good job at covering a lot of what happened in Toronto, interviewing lawyers and protesters who went through these horrible conditions at Guantanamo Bay in Toronto. So the media did nothing, in my opinion, to present reliable information to the public. And as far as I'm concerned, the agenda of the politicians is to basically forget about this and only focus on the cost of the summit and not the human rights violations or civil liberties that were violated during the summit, especially at Queen and Spadina on Sunday.
Right. Yeah, we're speaking some we're getting some knowledge, speaking some true words here. We're hearing from Chris Bacon of the York Life, and that's why it's great that you're there in the independent media, getting all this info out on what's going on at York, on what happened at the G20, and everything that you're following. I guess what's the best way to find you online?
Well, you can just basically type in the York Life on Google, and it will pop up my WordPress blog. You can also look at, you can search the York Life on YouTube, and you'll find my YouTube channel under Chris Bacon. And, those are my basically two mediums of trying to get the word out there to York University students of what I'm doing. And,
Awesome, Chris. Yeah, thanks a lot. I hope to talk to you again. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, thanks a lot. That's Chris Bacon there of the York Life. You can check out the York Life. Just search the York Life on your favorite internet search, or youtube.com/Chris Bacon. That's KRISSBACON. And search for the Fortress Toronto documentary, G20 Toronto. And you can find the work, the good work that Chris has been doing with the York Life. There. And what I'm going to do now, though, is just play a quick clip here, a quick music track here, and then we'll be back here on the Word of Mouth Wednesday. And this is a track that is a G20 related track, and it is, well, it's basically an anthem of sorts, because it is a track by somebody who was one of the people that was falsely accused of this of the G20 vandalism, Peter Bones, and this is a track called the G20 Anthem. Word up, word of mouth, word is bomb.
My friend K-9 told me that life is a struggle, you know? Without justice, there's no peace. No justice, no peace. No justice, no peace. No justice, no peace. No justice, no peace.
Oh man, not me, man. And you're the liquor for me. And you're the liquor for me. Looking for me. And you're the liquor for me. And you're the liquor for me.
Babylon city. In this Babylon city. Suspect like I'm 900 plus people on Queen G to get arrested. I'm so stressed like Toronto's most wanted. Miss Musta get a little excited. I must have grabbed junk, maybe a little blunted. I told her I never done it. 10,000 people on the streets demonstrating at the summit. Some people said, get with me running from the police. That was the worst weekend on the streets of Toronto. The government must spend like a billion on this boat. No justice and no peace. They got me on my knees, handcuffed and I bleed. Looking for me on television and my mama's stressing. I can't even believe this until they come to get me. I never burn a police car. 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 Yo, the G20 story. They shoot rubber bullets. Police tell them to pull it. I didn't do nothing. What you don't have to worry. Not guilty, I'ma tell it. Until they come and get me. Black man on the black block. With a black back. And a black backpack. With a black bandana. Don't leave it on the ramp. I'll ask for Reggie Marshall. I'm caught up in some mix up. People yell at six up.
It appears Toronto police aren't really protecting their vehicles that closely. What is going on here?
Well, I don't know if it's protecting the vehicles or not. I think it's the security of the people and around the area. We have to make sure that when one of our vehicles, like the, we're seeing right now, are put up flames, that we have to make sure that the security of the people around those vehicles.
Word up, Word of Mouth Wednesday. That was just Peter Bones' G20 Anthem, and we're continuing our G20 Focus show. This is our, it's basically the last day of the G20 Toronto, because starting tomorrow it's going to be G20 Seoul, Korea. The G20 leaders are meeting in Seoul starting tomorrow, but we've got some memories here from what happened and events that are still occurring. Now, we have a guest in the studio right now who is Steve, and he was at the G20 taking footage, and he's got a YouTube channel too, youtube.com/wakingupnwo. Steve, how's it going? Wake up to the end. Hold on a second. Steve, could you say that again?
Wake up to the NWO.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, we got you on the mic now. Okay. Wake up to the NWO. And Wake up to the NWO, you can find the clip there, the original clip that you have titled G20 Toronto Police Illegally Smashed My Camera. What happened?
Well, I thought it was illegally, but apparently not. I just happened to come upon this scene. I wasn't there. It was, let me explain, if you haven't seen the clip, that it was the Saturday of the G20. And I had gone along Queen Street to Spadina and couldn't go any further. So after about 10 minutes at Spadina, I made my way back along Queen Street. And in between the time that I had passed this particular point, gone to Spadina and then came back, I guess a lot of things happened in that 10-minute period, because I came upon these two police cars that had been damaged, where I didn't notice them being damaged or even being there at all as I passed by the first time. So I was just there filming, just taking in the sights. I came across the one police car that was closest to me. And at first, I didn't even know that it was damaged. But then as I got closer, I saw the broken glass on the ground and started to film that. And then all of a sudden, and my focus was on the car and the damage. I wasn't focusing on what the police were doing around me. And just all of a sudden, they just started closing in. And the bicycle cops got off their bikes and started pushing everybody off the road and onto the sidewalk. Now, I know I've seen a lot of police abuse videos on YouTube. So I was just verbally letting the police know that don't do anything stupid because it will be on YouTube. I said the words, see you on YouTube, a couple of times. It was just when the police investigators asked me what I meant by that, I just said it was just a verbal warning saying, don't touch me. Don't do anything stupid.
Yeah, or it'll be uploaded, right?
Yeah,
And it was uploaded.
Yeah. Well, thankfully, after it happened, I was able to get the camera back, and the chip inside was still undamaged.
I was wondering about that, yeah.
So,
because as the guy's pushing you back, I guess, what was the actual incident? The guy, did he push you, and then...
Well, my focus at that point was on this one, the one police officer that was sort of off to my right. Mm-hmm. And he was perfectly fine. He was doing his job. And just saying, get back to everyone, get mm-hmm. back. And it wasn't until I had actually panned the camera around to the police officer that was directly in front of me that the incident occurred. Within a split second of me turning my head and turning the camera onto this police officer, he swatted the camera out of my hand, which it spun to the ground. And as I said to you during the break, I'm sure the camera would have been just fine having just fallen to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
But then, they can't prove it, but he did step on the camera. The camera landed lens up.
Mm-hmm.
You can see at the very end of the clip, a police boot coming down on the lens, and which effectively destroyed the camera's ability to operate. And that's where the video ends.
Right, right. Well, I've seen the video clip on YouTube, and then you actually brought in the camera today, so I've seen the real camera. I can tell it's definitely damaged. So this is why it's shocking here. So after this incident happened, was this the end of the G20 protest for you? Or?
Yes, even though it had really only just begun, it was Saturday afternoon around 3:20, and I'd only left my house around 1:00, so. It's, a lot of things can happen in a short period of time.
Yeah.
But, yeah, essentially that was the end of it, which, I mean, if you can look at it as in a positive way, too, because I may have been down there on the Sunday when they rounded up all of those people. So, I mean,
yeah.
That may have saved me that kind of grief.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, because it took place, that's the Sunday kettling drill took place very close to where this incident took place on the Saturday, because this was on the Queen Street West right near the Steve's Music. It was those police cars that were first smashed, I think. One of the very first things that were smashed by this radical black bloc group. And I was actually there. I didn't actually see your event or get it on recording, but I was in another corner during while this was happening, while the police were pushing everyone away from these cop cars that had been smashed. But the surprising thing that happened with this G20 and this specific area, this specific cars vandalized, was that these cops that surrounded the cars and kicked everyone out somehow disappeared within a few hours, because these cars were eventually lit on fire with no cops around at all. I mean, were you surprised when you saw what happened to those cars?
After I had gotten my camera back from, I had asked the officer that was beside me, can I bend down and pick the camera up? Because I've seen other videos where you make a sudden move and they're on you.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked politely, can I pick it up? And they said yes, and I picked it up, and I was on my merry way. I didn't stick around to see anything else, but I did mm-hmm. see the after effects when I got home on TV. And in the last few days, I've been pretty much nonstop on YouTube searching videos. And I finally came across the video where the police actually back away from the cop car.
Whoa.
For some reason, I didn't save it. But somebody did shoot where the police are actually walking backwards.
Whoa. Now the whole thing is that's another thing that gets me really confused is how that happened, you know, how there was no tow trucks, you know, in Toronto or, you know, where they left there for these purposes. You know, what we saw with this G20 that took place in Toronto and, basically what the name of your YouTube channel is, you know, seem to go together, Wake Up to the NWO. Is that what you saw here with the G20? Did you see the New World Order in Toronto? What do you
Yes, definitely. As far as the financial aspect, and as far as the column that I wrote below the video, I wrote that I believe it was a 2-day police state training. I don't believe it was our training. I believe it was training for the 19,000 police officers from across the country that essentially saying you're going to start to see a lot more of this. So you better get used to it, and this is how you deal with it.
Right, right. And so what we got to mention here is in case anyone has another angle of this incident, it was if anyone was at Queen Street West if you have any footage of a police officer dropping a camera or stomping on a camera, to get at youtube.com/wakeuptotheNWO to get at Steve here. Steve, since this event, what has gone on? Like, did you file the complaint?
I filed the complaint the very same day online. Mm-hmm. They told me that they have 90 days to make out their report. Once 90 days had come and gone, I received a letter in the mail saying that they had requested an extra 30 days, which was granted. So just last week, I've got the final report, and they essentially says in the report that this officer had back in February received training for the G20, in which they had, intelligence from previous G20s, which said that there would possibly be some protesters who have cameras that are not actually cameras, they're fake cameras that squirt acid in the police officer's face. This was the excuse that they used to be legally justified to destroy my property.
Now with the complaint though, what happened? So the response was that they didn't buy your story of it.
Yeah, it's obviously it happens very fast on video, but all you have to do is slow the video down into slow motion mode, which you can't do on YouTube. But if you have a player that can do that, the police assert that I stepped towards the officer, which then provoked him. But if you slow the video down, you can tell that the officer actually steps towards me. He reaches towards me to smash the camera. And the way that you can tell it in slow motion is the fact that the background stays relatively the same.
Right.
Whereas if I had stepped forward, the background would have also come closer.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, that's where I'm not. Yeah, that's where I'm not sure what this investigative team is looking into. But I think that was an interesting note that you had in on the YouTube description, the text description that you had written, that the people doing the police complaint were York Region,
yes,
police, and then York Region was also the same. There was officers from York Region that made the famous quote, the now famous quote, that this is no longer Canada. Or no, you aren't in Canada anymore.
Then later on in the video, he says, there's no civil rights in Ontario.
Right, right. How did you notice that he was York Region after you had found out that they were York Region, putting it together? Yeah. Because that is a... That's a shocking thing. Like, I guess, are they York Region because they're trying to say, like, they're trying to be impartial by not being Toronto Police? Or was the guy from York? Or do you even know who it is? Or
yes, his name, I mean, as far as my video, yes, his name's in the police report.
And was he one of the guys with the no with his badge covered up? I know a lot of officers had. Or
I would look to, once I had heard that story in the news. I looked back again at the video, and I could not see a name tag. But because he is so close to the lens,
right.
It may be that it is obscured somehow. I don't know. But there was definitely no identifying marks on him. From the video, I don't know how York Region found who he was, but they did. But I didn't see any name tag. I do know he was wearing a shoulder badge, like with his numbers on it. And the only reason why I know that is because, and this is why I want to make this plea for anybody to who shot this. There was one. A guy that was standing beside me that directly after the incident, he said to me, I've got it all on tape. I got it all on tape. And then I said, can you film his shoulder badge? I need his badge number. And so the guy raised his camera up over his head or over like,
right.
And filmed the shoulder badge. So, and I, from what I can recall, this was a the guy that was filming this was a fairly expensive HD video camera. So, I mean, I know there wasn't too many of those at the G20.
Yeah,
because they run into the thousands of dollars.
Yeah, exactly. And so I guess this person has since then this person's disappeared, or you haven't been able to get in contact with them.
Yeah. Going down to the G20, you don't think about bringing a pen and paper with you.
Right.
So we didn't have anything to exchange phone numbers or emails. So it was, and I didn't have my cell phone with me, so it was just a total loss. But the reason why I'm also making this plea is because the Independent Police Review has made a ruling on this. And basically said that the officer is not at fault, that he was righteous in his duty as a G20 officer.
Well.
I have 30 days to appeal this. So this is why I'm trying to get the word out, because I need to find another angle of this in order to bring to this appeal.
Right. Exactly. So I guess this is, so the countdown is on, like after this 30 days is that they're not going to look into it.
Exactly.
Oh no. That's why. Yeah. So hopefully if anybody has, this was the Saturday, June the 26th at Saturday afternoon. Do you know around what time?
3:20.
Around 3:20 PM. If you're around the Queen Street West, cars that had been smashed and around the time when the, you know, riot cops were circling around, pushing people back. If you have footage of Steve and a police officer smashing his camera, stomping his camera, then get in contact with Steve at youtube.com/wakeuptotheNWO. And with what you've experienced here with this process, this independent police review process, would you recommend people that have had situations like this to do it? Or would you, you know, has it been worth it? Or
it's always worth a try. The one thing that I thought they misrepresented was the word independent. I contacted the Independent Police Review Board. I did not expect it to be reviewed by two police officers from his own region.
Right.
And apparently when I put my appeal in 30 days, it will go directly to the Police Review Board. But the initial investigation and the initial police report has to be done. And apparently this is actually by law in Ontario. Another police region cannot investigate police from a different region.
Whoa.
This is apparently the law in Ontario that a police under review has to be investigated by his own, not department, but region. which I did not know that when when filing my complaint with the independent police review.
Right. Yeah. Well, there is a lot of things that we've learned. Yeah, I guess there's a lot of things we're learning, and there's a lot of things we learned at the G20 when we heard, you know, from York Region police officers that this is no longer this ain't Canada anymore. And well, you know, as long as we're still in Canada, we're still in Toronto, we're still in Ontario, but it is becoming, you know, a G20 globalized world, and G20 Korea going on tomorrow. Do you have any thoughts on the G20 Korea?
Just that the whole police state thing has been ramped up, I would say double what we saw here in Toronto. I saw one news report, like we had a total of 19,000 officers here. And I would say only about 40% were in riot gear.
Right.
They have the same ratio, but they have 50,000 officers. Whoa. 20,000 of them are in riot gear. So they have more 1,000 more officers in riot gear than we had total.
Whoa.
So you can really tell the as each G20 goes along, it just keeps getting more and more and more.
Right. Right. Yes. And this is why we hope that the listeners out there can get this information and can hopefully wake up to the NWO, because the New World Order is growing at every step of the way. G20 Korea is taking place tomorrow. And Steve, thanks a lot for coming in and sharing your story with us today.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks to Steve there. And then just to mention that YouTube clip again, in case you watch it on YouTube.com, search for G20 Toronto, police illegally smashed my camera, with an exclamation marks, or just go to YouTube.com/wakeuptotheNWO. And that's Steve's channel there. And we're just going to play a quick music break, and then we're going to wrap up for the Word of Mouth Wednesday for this week. And this one here is just a quick track here. Here's the just a bit of that G20 anthem. We'll be right back here on the Word of Mouth Wednesday.
Without justice, there's no peace. No justice, no peace. No justice, no peace. No justice, no peace. No justice, no peace.
Oh man, not me, man. JP, hey, you're the liquor for me. Hey, you're the liquor for me, liquor for me. Hey, you're the liquor for me. Hey, you're the liquor for me. In at least Babylon City. In at least Babylon City. Suspect like I'm 900 plus people on Queen G get arrested. I'm so stressed like Toronto's most wanted. Miss must get a little excited. I must have been drunk, maybe a little blunted. I swear we've never done it. Over 10,000 people on the streets demonstrating at the summit. Some people said we can win by running from the police. That was the worst weekend on the streets such a grind. So the government must spend like a billion on this boat. Justice and no peace. They got me on my knees, handcuffed and I bleed. Looking for me on television and my mama's just, I can't even believe this. Just the kids can get me. I never burn a police car. 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 They shoot rubber bullets, police tell them to pull it. I didn't do nothing, what you they have to worry? Not guilty, I'ma tell it until they come and get me. Black man on the black block with a black back and a black backpack with a black bandana. Don't move me down the ramp, I'll ask for Reddy Marshall. I'm caught up in some mix-up, people yell at six up.
It appears Toronto police aren't really protecting their vehicles that closely. What is going on here?
Well, I don't know if it's protecting the vehicles or not. I think it's the security of the people and around the area. We have to make sure that when one of our vehicles, like we're seeing right now, are put up flames, that we have to make sure that the security of the people around those vehicles.
Word up, Word of Mouth Wednesday. So we're about wrapping it up here for our show here on the G20 Korea we got starting tomorrow. We're wrapping up our G20 Toronto coverage, and I just wanted to try to bring a balance of the programming here, because we talked with Chris Bacon earlier in the show of the York Life, and he gave his breakdown, what he saw, how he saw this radical anarchists. We're not sure what they were protesting, but they were out smashing stuff. And he covered that, and he covered the response to that, and from the perspective of one camera, you can check out the Fortress Toronto documentary. And then so we've got one side of the NWO, this radical black gang or black clad anarchist group smashing stuff. The other side of the NWO, these black clad riot cops, some of them also smashing stuff, including Steve's camera, who you just heard, and this Toronto Truth Seekers megaphone smashed. And then accusations of the weaponry, things like false legs for a person with one leg, things like the transfer punch of Elroy Yao, a TTC worker that was arrested. Some very strange stuff happening. Well, it was definitely a funny situation, and the track Funny Situation, hopefully we'll be playing that one next week. That's another G21 I want to get into, because next week we'll have the info on what went down in Korea. We'll be able to talk about that, and what we'll be able to do as well is give you a heads up and give you a few words here. Just to sum it up, because we're getting ready here to throw it to Lowdown to Uptown, my thoughts on the G20 Hollywood PSYOP are that I hope that it doesn't, I hope that we can all just get busy. And Word of Mouth Wednesday, this has been our show for November the 10th, I should say. 10/10/11/2010. And my name's Daniel Libby, and just going to throw it to the Lowdown to Uptown with a guest host this week, and we'll be back hopefully for next week. You've been listening to CKLN 88.1. This is the Roots track called Rising Down, featuring Styles P. Word up. Word up. Identities in crisis and conflict diamonds, blinding, staring at lights till they crying, bone whistle popping from continuous grinding, grapes of wrath in a shapely glass, ingredients simpler, what you're on your ways to ask, zero tolerance to raise the tax, it don't matter how your gates is latched, you ain't safe from the danger, Jack, made a way before they made the map, or a GPS, this is DEF, leader, I know where I'm going even when it's dark. And being led down that road, you don't see that something's wrong. Earth's spinning out of control. Everything's for sale, even souls. Someone get God on the phone. Word up. Word of mouth. Popping off worldwide. Between the greenhouse gases and earth spinning off its axis. Got Mother Nature doing backflips.